Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors.
Good morning, everyone. So glad that you're here today. Well, we're in a series called God Has a Name, and of course he has a name. And the name of God is significant because it tells us who God was, is, and always will be, calling to mind the unchanging character of God and inviting us to know him better. You know, this series started on Christmas Eve with the name Emmanuel, God with us, which means that we need to find out what God's earthly name was. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This Christmas, when we talk about Jesus coming to earth, it's the fulfillment of prophecy in Hebrew scripture, which we often call the Old Testament. So it is fitting that we look at a passage that represents that today and this good news, because we're going to find out that the name of the incarnate God, who would spend 30 plus years on this earth, he would not just bring God's good news. He actually would be the good news himself. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 1 today, starting with verse 18. And if you have a Bible with you, I encourage you to read it. You can open up a Bible app, and we have Bibles at the orange tables at each door. So if you need a Bible, there's always one for you. So I'm reading from the New Living Translation version today. It says this: "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet: 'Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus." Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much for your word and the opportunity to worship you through study and learning this morning. God, I just pray that we would know you better, that we would grow to be more like you and reflect you well to the world around us. Heavenly Father, I pray that this message right now would be about you and bring only you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. We often close prayers with "in Jesus' name." Have you ever asked yourself why? Why do we do that? As we consider the many attributes of God and the names of God that we've looked at already, from Good Shepherd, Jehovah, I Am, Yahweh, as Christ followers, we may open a prayer with one of these, but we don't generally close our prayers. We say the name Jesus. Why? I believe it's because there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And today, as we consider his name and its inherent power and authority, as you heard from the worship songs we were singing, I want us to be changed in a way that we thoughtfully and mindfully recognize, remember, and revere that powerful name of Jesus. Recognize, remember, and revere. So recognize. What does the word recognize mean? Well, it means to acknowledge the existence. In this case, it's to acknowledge the existence and validity of Jesus, his name, and his power. This is God's story, the story that we read and study, which we have been blessed to be characters in. We're all part of this story. And it's a story about rescue and restoration. Lots of R words today. Rescue and restoration. God rescuing his people and restoring us to a right relationship with him. That's what this story is about. And a battle has been going on since the devil waged war against the creator of the universe. Now, this enemy desires to destroy those that God loves most, his image bearers. That's us. From Genesis 3, when the serpent tricked Eve and Adam and sin became a part of human reality, there's been a power struggle. And we need to recognize that this still exists today. The enemy is real, and we need to not underestimate him. Satan wants to keep us trapped in the bondage of sin, like a heavy chain dragging us down. I have a picture. That's what sin can do, attach to you and be a heavy chain that drags us down. And sin is anything we do, knowingly or unknowingly, that goes against God's best for us, our thoughts, our words, our actions, anything that's against his best. An unconfessed sin, it attaches itself to us and it weighs us down. We carry it around. We drag it around with us. It's a visual that should wake us up. Do you recognize the existence of sin in your life? Is there something that's weighing you down today? What chains are you carrying around, or thoughts are holding you captive? Is there an area of your life where Satan is trying to keep you a prisoner of his war? When we realize the weight of sin, we should be motivated to avoid those chains and get rid of them altogether. But how can we do this? How can we break free of these chains from the bondage of sin and death? Well, God provided a way to rescue and save us. The Lord gave himself the name Jesus here on earth. And Jesus literally means the Lord saved. Yahweh is salvation. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're acknowledging that we know who Jesus is, the living God, the creator of the universe, who came to earth in the form of a human, who lived, who healed, performed miracles, bled, died, rose again, ascended into heaven, and is currently seated at the right hand of God. He will come again. That's what we acknowledge when we pray to Jesus and in his name. The name of Jesus carries the power to break those chains, to free us from the grip, and to rescue us from sin. And as believers, we have authority. We have authority when given to pray in his name and to exercise his power to break those chains. We recognize that the only reason we have access to our Heavenly Father is because of Jesus, his power and his authority, and he lives in us. And we admit that anything that we do is in his name. None of it's our own power. Do you recognize Jesus as God, as your Savior? And do you recognize the authority and power that is in you as a follower of Jesus? Those are things I hope we recognize. Once we recognize and acknowledge the name of Jesus and its power, we're challenged to remember. We're very forgetful creatures. We're challenged to remember. Remember means to bring to mind an awareness. In this case, it's to bring to mind an awareness of the power that is in the name of Jesus. We need to remember that. You know, although our salvation for eternity is secured through our relationship with Jesus, the war wages on and the enemy still attacks. There will be times when the suffering and the struggles are very real, when our hearts are troubled. It's in those times that we need to remember who God is. We need to remember who we are and whose we are, and bring to mind the power that is in Jesus' name. So I want to look at a passage of scripture in John 14 where Jesus is talking. And he's talking to his disciples here. This is towards the end of his life. And this is what he says. Verse 1, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going." "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. no one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." There's a lot in this passage of Scripture. The disciples were struggling to understand what Jesus was telling them. Can anyone relate? Right? Sometimes it's really hard to understand what Jesus is saying. And I really appreciate Thomas's response. "No, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea what we're doing or where we're going." This just reminds me that it is okay to ask Jesus questions. Don't be afraid to do that. Just keep pursuing Jesus and ask questions. And Jesus gave them these words in spite of their confusion so that they would be able to call to memory this particular conversation. He was telling them things he wanted them to remember. Because he was going to be going away, and he needed them to remember these things. He wanted them to remember God is trustworthy. Jesus is trustworthy. He wanted them to remember that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He wants them to remember to ask for anything in Jesus' name, and it will be done to his glory. One commentary noted that this is about exercising the authority that he has already given to us over the power of the works of the devil. So this isn't a genie in a bottle, I'm going to ask for Jesus for anything, he's going to give it to me. This is remembering to call on the name of Jesus in the battle. Remember to call on the name of Jesus in the battle. These are relevant and worthy things for us to remember. We need to remember them because these are the same areas Satan will continue to attack us in today. We need to recall and remember the power in the name of Jesus. We need to remember who we are and whose we are, and we need to remember the truth of God. But we can only call to memory that which we've experienced or memorized. You can't call to memory something you haven't walked through, seen, or memorized yourself. And this is how we prepare and equip ourselves for the surprise attacks that are sure to come our way. How do we do this? I cannot overemphasize enough the importance of prioritizing preparation. You'll hear me say that all the time. You have to prepare. And we seem to understand and apply that to our lives when it comes to work, school, hobby, music, athletics. I mean, can you imagine running a marathon without doing any preparation for it? It would be horrible. Or performing in a recital, a play, or even a worship set without practice? How about a big game? You're an athlete. There's a big game coming up. Undisciplined people never succeed as professional athletes. A presentation at work or school requires preparation. Our military, they're constantly preparing to be called into a literal battle. We know what it means to prepare. And all this preparation, both physical and mental, is so that we can call to memory what we need at the time we need it. My dad used to call this muscle memory, right? Whether it's your brain or your muscles, you need that memory. So when I was, once upon a time, when I was running half marathons, he would encourage me to keep running. Just run 5 miles, 6 miles, 10 miles. If you can get to 10 miles in your practice runs, by the time you get to the half marathon, your body will remember what it means to run that far. And you'll be okay. You'll be able to finish it. He was right. We need that muscle memory for our brain and for our hearts and our minds. Remember, there's a spiritual war waging. Anytime, we might need to recall the goodness and the faithfulness of God, and we'll need to remember the power that's in Jesus' name and his authority to combat the attacks of the enemy. Now, I've always loved working with preteens, middle school students, and high school students. It's an age and stage of life where their thought processes and development move from concrete thinking to abstract thinking. And it can be a time when questions really start to form. Questions about their faith, that are hard to reconcile. Things that you took for granted as a child, but then as your brain starts becoming a little more abstract, you start to question things. And as I sit and talk with students, one of the things I love are their questions. I think we all have a little bit of Thomas in us. We need to ask those questions and be okay with listening to someone else's questions. And they can be questions of doubt. They can be questions of trying to reconcile who God is around our brains. But one of the things I always like to encourage them to do is to go back to what you know is truth. Go back to what you know is truth. Jesus is truth. God is love. He wants the best for you. You can rely on him. Your spiritual foundation has been laid. So you can ask God any question. He's not surprised, shocked, or worried about your questions. He can take them. We need those same reminders as adults. We can be just the same. And sometimes we can get a crack in our foundation. The weight of the sin can be heavy, and it can crack our foundation. And we can't ignore this. We can't ignore a crack in a foundation because the enemy wants to get in, and he wants to make the crack bigger, and he wants to wreck the foundation and destroy it. So we got to fix the foundation. So an ironic but true story. Of course, I have an ironic but true story. We literally found a crack in our home's foundation recently. Bummer. We suspected it was there for quite a while. There was evidence in the walls and around us, and we wanted to ignore it. We wanted to avoid it. Why? Why would we want to avoid a crack in the foundation? Because we were afraid of the costs to make the repair. We didn't want to spend the time and money fixing it, and we're concerned about the domino effect of when you open up your floor and look at the foundation, what else could be wrong underneath it? See where I'm going with this? Right? We all have times when our spiritual foundation will be cracked. And these cracks might have not even be caused by things we've done. Sometimes it's cracked because of something we've done. Other times it's cracked by somebody else. The issues we're having with the foundation of our home were because of choices the builders made over 50 years ago. We didn't do anything to cause them. It was someone else's doing. But we have a choice to make now on if we're going to fix it, regardless of the cost. It's so similar to our spiritual foundation. Whether the cracks are a result of something we've done on our own or perhaps the result of what was done to us, we might get an inkling that something isn't right. There's a sign that we need to make a change. And God prompts us through the Holy Spirit that we need to repair something. And we have to make the choice of whether we're going to repair it or not. Maybe we need to repair an attitude or a relationship. Or we've allowed bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, or anxiety to weigh us down, and it's cracking our foundation. I picture that grip around our ankle that we had earlier. We're holding on to it and we're wearing it. Maybe we give in to a temptation and sin gets a grip on us. It's attached itself to us. And we don't often want to face the truth because it's going to cost us something. We may need to humble ourselves. Nobody likes to eat humble pie. That always costs something to do that. We might need to forgive someone, apologize to someone, make a radical change in our choices, maybe even alter who we spend time with to be able to move on the right track. And if we don't address the issues right away, the weight will get heavier, the crack will get bigger, the damage will be greater, and the costs could be higher. We will experience attacks of the heart, body, and mind our whole lives, an attempt to distract, discourage, and derail us, to keep us in chains, to destroy our foundation. But Jesus, remember, Jesus can break those chains and fill those cracks with God's truth, and he can restore it to whole by his power. There's power in the name of Jesus. He can restore those cracks. You know, in order to remember, we need to have experiences and memories to remember. We talked about that. We can't remember the truth of God's word if we don't read it and memorize it. And you may be thinking, I don't have time. Where am I going to find the time to read it and memorize it? My schedule's too full. I'm already too busy. You know, when our lives are too full of activities, even good ones, they become frantic and hurried. Dallas Willard, a modern-day theologian, was once asked what the greatest enemy of our spiritual life is in today's world. And he says this: hurry is the great enemy of your spiritual life today. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. We have to remember to slow down, say our best yes, and check our priorities. It's when we slow down that we notice that we might be wrong. We might notice what needs to get fixed. It's when we hear from God. And what could possibly be more important than preparing yourself, your family, your friends, your community for the best odds at successfully winning a spiritual battle? What could possibly be more important than that? The devil will use distractions, modern comforts to keep us in a place of complacency and to weaken us. So it's time we get in shape. We don't want to be weak. We need to be prepared for the spiritual battle. So how can we do that? Start small. Start small. You don't have to do everything all at once, but start small. Commit to 15 minutes a day to reading your Bible. 15 minutes to read God's word and let it sink into you. Listen to scripture on your car ride. Rather than listening to something else, listen to some scripture. Write down a Bible verse on a 3x5 card and commit to memorizing it. Actually, I've made it easier for you this week. I've typed up three on this orange card that you can pick up on your way out. One only has like 8 words in it. We can memorize this, okay? And then the next one's a little longer and the last one's a little longer. They're all from the message today. So make sure you get one of these on your way out. We'll memorize them together. I'd challenge you to intentionally pray first thing in the morning, ahead of every meal, before you go to bed at night. Put those rhythms of intentional prayer in, and then you'll see that you're preparing for battle. Just pick one discipline on to focus so that you can remember the power and authority of Jesus when you need it most. The final thing I want us to do is practice reverence, revere. It means to show profound respect and love, in this case, for the name of Jesus. How do you show profound respect and love for someone or something? Is there anything that comes to mind? Reverence is something that I think we could get better at as a church, especially when it comes to Jesus' name. I don't think we truly understand it and practice reverence. I think in the church's attempt at distancing itself from religion and rules and regulations and moving towards relationship, again, more our words, more towards relationship with Jesus, which is a good thing. We want that. We lost some of our reverence for the name of God. This is something that Jewish people have historically taken very seriously. They treat the name of God with so much reverence that they do not speak his name literally. They never do it. They don't want to risk speaking it inappropriately. They demonstrate it by coming up with it's called the Tetragrammaton, the YHWH that we pronounce Yahweh. That's their efforts and intentionality of never taking the name of the Lord in vain when they utilize it. They have such reverence for it. We could practice that. We revere Jesus by honoring God with our words and our actions as we recognize and remember his power and authority. And one way the Jewish people did that was in the Hebrew scripture, was that they would stand in unison as the word of God was read. I was reading through the book of Nehemiah recently, and I was so inspired by so much of it, but I'm just going to share 5 verses with you this morning. Nehemiah 8, 1 through 5. It says, "All the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate." I love that they gathered together for a unified purpose, similar to us here today. "They asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. So on October 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women and all the children old enough to understand. He faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. Ezra stood on the platform in full view of all the people, and when they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet." I thought that was such a powerful, powerful passage of scripture. They recognized that gathering to listen to the word of God was important. They had not heard God's word in a long time and needed Ezra's help to remember it, to remember what it said. And they showed reverence when they rose to their feet to listen to it being read. All three of those are in those five small verses. So I thought that we could practice some reverence for God's word right now as I read another passage of scripture. So would you stand with me while I read from the book of Acts? I'm actually going to pull out the Bible this time. Let's do it. Give me a second to get to chapter 19. I'm reading from Acts 19, and I'm going to read verses 13 to 20. All right, so this is what it says. Just need a little bit of light. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, "I command you, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, "I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you?" Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. The story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. Thank you. You can be seated. That's a crazy story, huh? That's a serious whooping, right? In many cultures, I thought this was such a great story to apply for today. In many cultures, sorcery and magic were used on a regular basis, and in many today, they still are. And people sought help from whatever spirit would provide it. In this case, the commentary noted, Sceva's sons try to use Jesus' name as a magical formula, as others invoked powerful spirits to cast out lower spirits. They quickly discovered that Jesus' name cannot be manipulated like other spirits' names. Jesus' name authorizes his true agents, and in the spiritual world, Jesus and his servant Paul are well known. This leads to honoring the name of the Lord Jesus. When his agents are faithful, spiritual power encounters reveal the true God's supremacy. Exorcists and magicians sometimes requested spirits' names. Here, by contrast, the demon ironically demands their identity and drives them out. The exorcists want to cast out the demons. Instead, the demon man casts out the exorcists. Wow. Wow. So they don't question whether the enemy attacks and what they're facing. And we learn from this story that the power of the name of Jesus is very, very real. The demons recognize it. Do we? Do we recognize the power in the name of Jesus? And let's be clear, the name of Jesus is not a magic wand. Chanting it does not give a person special powers, and the power is in the name of it's in the person behind the name. That's where the power is. We don't use it haphazardly, superstitiously, or experimentally. We use the name of Jesus with awe, respect, and reverence. That's the only way we should ever be using the name of Jesus. Because when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he began with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." God's name is holy. It's deserving of all praise. It's deserving of reverence. Paul, who the demon acknowledged in that passage of scripture, he wrote these words to the Philippians in his letter to them. It says, "Therefore God elevated him, Jesus, to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Jesus is the name above all names that we recognize, that we remember, and we revere. He is the King of Kings. He is the Savior of the world. This rescue and restoration plan, it's good news. It's really good news. This story that technically began at creation moved all the way through the Hebrew scripture with prophecy that pointed to the birth of Emmanuel is good news. It's all about Jesus. And as Gracie mentioned, this week we're entering the Christian season of Lent. And we will see and hear over these next several weeks leading up to Easter and Good Friday, Easter, the full power and authority of the name of Jesus, because we're going to focus on the life of Jesus, and you're going to experience and see those. It's good news. Jesus says in Mark 1:15, the time God promised by God has come at last. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. That's what we're going to start diving into during the season of Lent. More good news. Recognize the power of Jesus to break every chain. Remember to pick a discipline that you can use this week to help you remember who you are in Christ and revere. Use the powerful name of Jesus with awe, respect, and reverence. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, you truly are worthy of all power and all honor and praise. And God, we thank you for this incredible gift that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ, to have salvation as we come into relationship with you. And Lord, we ask for forgiveness for the times that we take you for granted, that we haphazardly or inappropriately use your name, or just lack acknowledgement of how special it is. And Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit right now would come into this space and show each of us maybe one thing that we can do to reflect you better in our lives and to the world around us. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your love. I pray your abundant blessing over every person here, both in person and online, God. We just pray that you would bless them now with peace and comfort, knowing that you're here with us on this journey. Help us to recognize you, remember you, and revere you always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.